Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kind for being a part of the show. Folks, we are going to have a great show for you today. We are going to have a great show for you today, folks. Here, let me tell you. Let me get a few things here settled first. Okay, folks. All right. Let's get busy. Had to take care of a few businesses beforehand. Let's go ahead and, well, I got the first call in. Danielle Cohen. We just got started. Put it on. Please go ahead and mute the background noise, my dear friend. Are you there?
You got it. Yes, sir.
All right, hold on a second. Let me go ahead and get the show started, and then we'll go ahead and get that interview. And anyway, folks, welcome to Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being here with us. We are going to have a great show for you. We have an important show for you on several different issues. We also have a guest on the host, Danielle Cohen, that we'll be speaking to momentarily. But before we get started, let me tell my folks, welcome aboard Maywood from Long Beach, California. Melanie Keelan from Barcelona, Spain, E2247 from all over. And of course, we also have in the house Eric Hayes from Atascocita, Kingwood, Yvette Avery Herod from Atlanta, Georgia. Para ver, ¿quién más está aquí? Bear with me one second as I reach everybody. Anyway, folks, we're going to have a great show for you today as I'm still getting all the bells and whistles connected to the internet. Bear with me. We got a little late start because I had a few videos that I had to make sure and prepare. So as I am posting all these things as we speak, we are going to get going, my dear brothers and sisters. You know, if we had a bit more support, I could have somebody else doing this as I'm trying to talk. But until we get there, folks, until we get there, we'll keep working and burning the midnight oil and burning from two sides of the candle. Anyway, we're going to have a great show for you today. But today, beforehand, I want to bring Danielle Cohen into the fold. Danielle Cohen is the president of Indivisible Houston, an activist, community organizer right here in Houston, Texas. And he has some news for us of something that is happening locally. But I can tell you, this is something that happens throughout the country in different counties and municipalities. Welcome to Politics and Right, Danielle Cohen. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you, Egberto?
I am doing fine. Now, I know you're calling in with regards to our district attorney who lost the race in Harris County, and she did something that was quite interesting today. Talk to us a little bit about it.
So she actually today, let me back up a little bit. For those that don't know, our district attorney basically waged war against political opposition within the Harris County Democratic Party here in the third largest county in the country for years. Based on partly on funding disputes, and then because she has picked up the mantle of the far right crime narrative, a false narrative about bail reform across the United States. And that led to the eventual admonishment by the party of several grassroots Democrats, including myself, of the district attorney, Kim Ogg, at the county executive committee meeting. And eventually led to a 3-1 blowout in the Democratic primary against her opponent, who received overwhelming support. She basically unified the party against her.
Daniel, let me stop you one quick second. Let me just stop you one second because I want the folks to know this is a Democrat, a purported Democrat on Democrat fight. This is a Democratic district attorney waging war against, to put it bluntly, the Democratic Party. Go ahead, continue, my friend.
That's definitely accurate. And in the past, some things have come out. Like, for example, she kicked a case down the road of a potential prosecution for fraud of a Republican, former Harris County Party Republican chair turned Republican candidate who had a law partner who he had actually brought in, he had known had had a bad history regarding abusing young men and actually brought some of those pages into the office at times in spite of knowing of those allegations, and went to the Texas Republican General Counsel lawyer Rachel Hooper and basically made sure that she was paid to investigate Mina Hidalgo, our Democratic County judge. So she had a long history of playing with Republicans, and today adds a new chapter to that when she invited the Attorney General of Texas, the crooked Ken Paxton, to take over the case investigating the county judge's staffers. And as we all know, I mean, if
let me stop you right there again. I need to stop you.
Yes, sir.
I want to stop you right there because in the process of explaining this, my dear friend, please point out that Ken Paxton is a criminal. So, in effect, our district attorney sent a case that has no merit to a criminal to try to find merit as Republicans normally do in this state. Continue, my friend.
Not just as a criminal, you know, who managed to move his case around for years, abused his own power to get off the hook. A guy who was in Washington, D.C. at the Trump rally on January 6th. I mean, just a guy who spent his entire existence figuring out test cases to undermine home rule and civil rights for the people of Harris County on a consistent and regular basis. And today, the DA allegedly hands this guy the keys to the case because he's quote unquote impartial. So, you know, she thinks she wants to take the politics out of this. She hands the case to Ken Paxton of all people. Now, keep in mind, the case, if it had proceeded as usual, Sean Teer, who defeated Kim Ogg, presuming that he won in November because it's still an election, but presuming that he won, he said that he would pass the case on to another district attorney. And there are plenty of district attorneys in the state of Texas. But, you know, Kim Ogg can't have it that way. She's been burned. She feels bad. She feels slighted. She thinks the world's against her. She's lied about bail reform and the public didn't listen to her. So now she's taking out her revenge on anyone she can during her lame duck period at the Harris County District Attorney's Office. I call it pathetic, but it's dangerous. And it's exactly the kind of behavior that got her booted out of office in the first place.
Exactly right. And actually, you know, you would, I mean, I think her next step is probably to declare herself a Republican, because at this point in time, I think her career is over in the Democratic Party, assuming the Democratic Party continue to maintain its values. I don't know, given the mayor that we have, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Your thoughts?
Well, it's, you know, we have low turnout off year, nonpartisan, hyper localized elections that people aren't paying attention to, that are difficult to vote in, have less polling locations, and are basically were created under a sort of aristocratic rule from the old parties. Then, you know, and in a state where the, you know, was known for all white primaries, right? One of the big states, the southwest corner of the Confederacy here, you know, those rules are all holdovers that lead to those kinds of outcomes. We've managed to crack that a little bit in Harris County just because of hardcore organizing and because this is a diverse city. But, you know, the implications of this, like you said, are national, because across the United States, there are crackdowns on home rule. There's power that's being removed from cities and counties in spite of the fact that they bring the economic wealth, they bring culture to their states, they bring, you know, inventions and education and contributions and create great places for working people and working families to live their lives. And, you know, someone in a faraway capital just decides they can't govern the way they want to. They can't live their life the way that they want to. It's particularly bad in Texas right now. There's someone threatening to remove the DA of Travis County. And now we have the DA of the outgoing, disgraced, defeated district attorney of Harris County kicking the case over to Ken Paxton. But it's good to keep an eye on that. I'll say one thing that people can do here in Harris County and across the United States is, there are still people on the ballot who tend to be connected to these things. I know in our own home county, in the 46th Judicial Criminal Court, there's a May runoff in which Kim Ogg's chief of staff, Vivian King, is actually on the ballot. So as all this unfolds, there are still people who are connected to the office who are running for office. And I think it's good to ask those people questions around those elections.
Well, I mean, let's do this, because I think it's important for those people who are able to vote here in Harris County to know a few things. Number one, tell us about the elections that we're having and who you are recommending in the elections. I think it's on May 4th, I believe. The runoff?
So we have two elections. This is, in fact, more than two elections that are going on in many respects. So on May, for the my Harris County folks, listen up, and surrounding Harris County folks, listen up, because this is important. There are local elections all over and around Harris County. Fort Bend School Board, Humboldt City Council, KAISD, Galena Park, a few other areas, right, where you have these school board elections. And you also have a special election that's taking place on May 4th to fill Senate District 15. Now, and in addition to that, you have the HCAD election. Now, the Senate District 15 election and the HCAD election are both going to be on the same ballot, but your local school board might be a different institution. So classic Republican Party, you like democracy, we'll give you more than you can handle. Tricksterism is creating this situation. But here's what I would say. If you're voting in Harris County, you got to vote for the labor slate of Bluford, Daniels, Noriega, and Adeleke, because that is just very clearly, from where I'm sitting, I think that they're very clearly the ones who can stand up for home rule in that election. And I am personally, as a precinct chair, supporting Molly Cook, who I think has what it takes and has the right position to do a great job in Senate District 15 and would change things out. Now, I also want to mention that there is a runoff on May 28th, so that's later in the month. But remember, we have more elections to come, and then there's potential runoffs in June for the HCAD races. There's all kinds of things going on, but when you mark your ballot on May 4th or in the early voting period running up to May 4th, that's what I recommend for Harris County is the labor slate and Molly Cook.
Well, absolutely. Well, look, thank you, Daniel. Anything you want to add before we move on? Because, these are some serious times. What do you have in store for now? We've covered these local elections for the November elections where Texas will play an important part. We're trying to unseat Ted Cruz, which is nothing but a charlatan. What are our plans for putting true progressives, true people who love humanity into the office?
Well, remember, start with these runoffs, right? In these local races, because you still can make a difference. If you've got a runoff in a local election, that means that there's more than likely a progressive versus somebody who's more reactionary. So go vote for your local progressive, like in the 486 criminal court. It's going to take place on May 28th. You can vote for Jamal Haynes. And if you want to learn why, you can go to defeatvivianking.com. So that's a good first step. The other thing is,
and explain again, because a lot of Harris County don't know who Vivian King is. Tell them, explain and explain why.
Well, the Harris County Democratic Party primary voters in March voted against Kim Ogg, essentially, 3-1. They had their positive aspects of Trump here that they were voting for, but there were aspects of that election also that were very clearly a referendum on the incumbent district attorney Kim Ogg. And Kim Ogg was known for funneling money over to the Harris County General Counsel, Texas Republican Party General Counsel for investigating Lena Hidalgo, for whiffing when the state, when there was a pledge to sign on saying she wouldn't prosecute abortion. And now she's in a position where she wouldn't have been able to sign that pledge. And so therefore took a whiff on it, for prosecuting a doctor who followed protocol handing out COVID vaccines, for opposing misdemeanor cash bail reform, lying about it and using Democratic judges and punching as a punching bag. And by the way, I could do this for a much, much longer period of time. Her campaign donors were incredibly dirty. She was supported by the bail bondsman who lied consistently throughout the campaign and heaped thousands of dollars on her, I should say. And she was supported by the insurance companies that backed up those bail bondsmen and lied about misdemeanor bail reform and the actual impact of it the entire time. And very simply, Vivian King is Kim Ogg's chief of staff. So she's been over all of this over the last 8 years. She's overseen the policy and administration of the Ogg administration. It's the Ogg-King administration. And she wouldn't be able to make a case that she was oppositional within that. She would have to cop to the fact that she was a part of that because she was in the executive governance structure. She was not just another staffer. She was somebody who was intimately involved in the leadership of that office. Now, that's the kind of person that you want on the bench, is somebody who is able to execute these policies over time. I don't think that that's the kind of person who can execute justice well. The right hand of Kim Ogg cannot be a judge, period, the end. And that's why you can, and you can find out more at defeatvivianking.com, because there's more where that came from.
Excellent, excellent. And now let's talk nationally.
Sure. What can we do nationally to ensure that we have progressive policies over the next 6 to 8 months?
Yes.
So the answer to any political question is this, that, and you know, this is something, if you forget the rest of the stuff, and please don't, because all that was important, but the answer is always more organizing. We got lots of questions after several of the successful grassroots organizing efforts have taken place in Harris County over the last 6 years, where people say, you know, or 8 years or so, where people say, well, who was behind it? What actually happened? You know, where did the resources come from? And I always think it's, what's so funny to me is that quite often you win fights with spreadsheets and phone trees. You know, it's not that there's something that's magical. It's caring about the situation, taking time and really addressing it. There are some skill sets that help in terms of pushing a progressive vision. And I encourage people to train and like learn how to organize and learn how to communicate. If you are curious about that, you know, you can contact me. You can go to indivisiblehouston.org, great resource for anybody out there that wants to learn more about that. Or you can also follow my Substack, which is called Disruption and Democracy, danieljcohen.substack.com. But I mean, the real way that you get progressives into office and you get progressive policy through is by organizing. We have, for example, a 4-1 count at our local Harris County Commissioner's Court right now. So that means if you want to see progressive policies, you've only got to convince 3 out of 5 people to pass them, and you got 4 Democrats on the county court. I would bet across the United States, there's all kinds of bodies like that you can tap into and make sure that those folks are overseeing your agenda at the local level, and that eventually you can build the power necessary to either elect people or to force the hands of the people in office to that agenda. The answer is always organizing from now through November for decades to come.
I want to remind our audience of something. The Harris County District Attorney put the case in the hands of an attorney general who took monies out of the pockets of Harris County residents after Lena Hidalgo and the commissioners created a basic income project, a basic income experiment to give people a hands up. And I can tell you, based on many interviews that I've done with other organizations that have tested the basic income model, that it works. It's not just a money giveaway or a free money giveaway. It is something that actually makes a difference in people's lives and makes them get that much more independent and eventually not need the support. It gives them a hands up. And the person that she turned over the case to is the person who filed suit and made sure that Harris County's residents would not get any support. He took monies out of the hands of mothers and fathers and food out of the mouth of babies. Close her up here for me, Daniel.
You're absolutely right about that. Defend home rule. Defend home rule in Houston and Harris County and across the United States. Don't let these people put their thumbs on us, whether it's Trumpism or Abbott or Ken Paxton or any of these other crooks and authoritarians. And again, if you want to reach out, it's danieljcohen.substack.com or indivisiblehouston.org. Egberto, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for being a member of the Free and Independent Press.
Absolutely. But look, repeat your addresses slowly because I want people to be in touch with you. I'll also put it in a blog.
I appreciate you, my dude. I'll slow down. It's indivisible, like one nation, indivisible, Houston, like the fourth largest city in the United States, .org, indivisiblehouston.org, or Daniel J. Cohen, that's Daniel J. as in Jonathan Cohen, .substack.com if you'd like to read my writings and become a subscriber.
Thank you so kindly, Daniel, for the work that you do around Houston and nationally. And look, take care, and you keep keeping us posted with what's going on, all right?
Thank you, my brother. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother. Have a good one now. Take care. That was Daniel J. Cohen. He is the president of Indivisible Houston, which is a branch of the Indivisible Network throughout the entire country. Welcome aboard everybody else that has come in since I've welcomed folks. Para ver. I guess Mike Cisak has joined us. Anyway, folks, I have a video for you. But before I get to the video, let's see if I need to read anything real quickly from anybody that has some present information that will do all of us good. Yes, Oh my God, I got to read those numbers again. Day 202 since October 7th, at least 34,305 Palestinians killed, 2,008 persons more than day 198, at least 77,293 wounded, 313 persons more than day 198, 11,598 casualties. We also have 170 people killed per day on average. I will continue to read that information as you point that out with what Netanyahu and the IDF is doing to humanity. Right now, I want to tell you there, Madie Benjamin, who is a friend of mine, the co-founder of Code Pink, she was in Turkey this week trying to get a shipment of supplies, 5,000 tons of 5,000 tons of aid to Gaza, and they're stuck in Turkey right now. She's on her way back to Washington right now, but her aides are still in Turkey on this ship trying to get 5,000 tons of supply onto into Gaza. And what I did is I got an interview with him in Turkey. His name is Tag Barry. Tag Barry, I got an interview with him, so I want to play that right now, and then we'll take it on the other side. Bear with me one second as I cue that up. Here we go, right now. Welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. As we all know, there's quite a bit happening on the other side of the world. In Gaza, we know what's occurring. We know that Netanyahu and the IDF are committing what most of us believe to be war crimes. And there are a whole lot of people suffering in Gaza. Well, you know, Americans are over there not only doing, are over there now doing some good things.
So we're getting ready to break the siege of Gaza, the naval blockade, by taking this enormous ship, and there'll be hundreds of us on board, as well as our enormous cargo ship that's taking so much desperately needed humanitarian aid. But just take a look at the preparations that are going on so that we can get aboard and break the siege of Gaza.
In a short time, this boat will be filled with hundreds of people who will be trying to make our way to Gaza to deliver aid and to deliver solidarity and say, you are not alone. We, the people of the world, are with you. We hope the Israelis don't stop us along the way. We hope we complete our mission to actually get to Gaza, that we will not stop until the people of Palestine are free.
And we have with us today, Tag Barry with Code Pink. Welcome to Politics Done Right. Tag, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you, actually. But I'm in Turkey right now. I would like to be in Gaza helping my brothers and sisters and children and the others. You know, something, yes, very bad things are happening there.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you...
I was just thinking about when your introduction is, I know personally that there are Americans, U.S. citizens, that hold Israeli passports as well as American passports and are fighting on behalf of another country. There are congressional representatives that have gone and joined the IDF, a foreign government, a foreign military committing genocide. So we have to keep this in mind as we talk.
Great. Well, look, that is so true. And, you know, I mean, imagine if one of our brothers and sisters from, let's say, Iran, or one of our brothers and sisters from Saudi Arabia, or one of our brothers and sisters from UAW decided to have an American passport as well as a UAE passport and say, I am going to go fight a war that UAE is fighting. I don't think we would look so kindly on that. I think it is time for, and look, the only reason these things occur is that the American citizenry are not quite well informed. And if you want a good example, your story isn't being covered in the United States right now. And when I heard about it, I said I needed to give a platform. Tell me, why are you in Turkey right now?
Well, my story is a little different than a lot of people, and I begin to cry when I think of Gaza, because I've been to Gaza since 2009. I've been there 11 times. I have family and friends. I know it's a common narrative for your Jewish American or your Israeli American to say, I have family in Israel. I'm worried about my family in Israel. Really? I've lost contact with my family in Han Yunus. Now, are they blood relatives? No. But many of these people that claim to have relatives, claim to have people in Israel in danger, don't also do not have blood relatives, but they consider them family. I have been there 11 times. I know my Palestinian brothers and sisters. I know my friends from Gaza, and I know what they are capable of doing and incapable of doing.
Let's talk about, what are you and Code Pink doing in Turkey right now?
Well, right now, me and my fellows that identify as Code Pink are here to bring the most important vital necessity of 5,500 tons of food, medical equipment, medicines, wheelchairs, all the things that the people of Gaza will need when this horrific genocide is concluded. Inshallah, it's concluded. Inshallah means God willing. But it's become a phrase, it's Arabic, obviously. It's become a phrase that's become everybody, that comes off of everybody's mouth, because it's solidarity. It's solidarity with the Palestinian people. And so, we need to get this aid in.
So tell me, what do you guys have? How many of you are out there? Who's what kind of sponsorship do you have? And I understand that you have several ships to go over ready to get into Gaza right now. Is that correct?
Yes, we have three boats that I know about right here in Turkey. The rest of the flotilla is not in my purview. I'm not that level of
organization.
The central committee.
Right.
Yeah, the organization. But we have one very large passenger ship. We have a smaller passenger ship, and we have a huge freighter. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it. It's massive. I personally have not seen it. It's docked in a secret location because the Israelis have multiple times destroyed our equipment. We have to keep this as secret as possible. Not because we want to be non-transparent. We want to be transparent. It's just that we have been sabotaged so many times.
So when
the boats are ready, we're ready to leave.
Are the boats stocked with food and medicines already?
Well, the main cargo ship has all that stuff on it, ready to go. It is ready. And you know, the fact that we, as common, like, I worked in film and television for 18 years. Like, I'm just a guy, man. I'm an artist, and I like to play with, you know, my family in California. I like to, you know, I go surfing. I'm not from the government. My government should be bringing 5,500 tons of aid and not let Israel go through it.
Wait, how many tons? 5,000 tons?
Tons of aid, man. Yeah. And this is all by individual donations. This is like unheard of. IHAHA, or IAH, is an organization that is the head, or the, I don't know what you want to say. Like they're the guys who got the boats, organized this whole thing. IHAHA is a well-established NGO. It has a place at the UN. Like someone the UN goes to for aid. They're in 150 countries around the world. They came to Katrina. They come to places where Muslims mostly are in danger, and they help out. I've been in Gaza after many invasions and massacres by the Israeli crowd, and IHAHA is always there.
Now, before we end, why is it that you're not? Why are you in port and not sailing onto a port or something in Gaza right now?
Well, my brother, I'm pretty sure you could answer that question yourself, but I'm gonna do it anyway. The United States government, which is the most powerful government in the world today, and this is why people like me, this is my opinion, call it the empire. Because we have bases around the world. China doesn't have bases around the world. Russia doesn't have bases around the world. We have bases around the world. We are the only ones that are supporting this genocide. It's you and me, my brother. I don't know if you carry an American passport, but if you do, even if you live in the United States and don't carry an American passport, you're responsible for this. In the 1940s, my father went over to fight what he thought was fascism. Nobody even knew that there was a genocide going on. They didn't have a clue. That took years to all of a sudden they figured out what was going on and people were burned in ovens. Then they came to this conclusion that there was this thing called the Holocaust. Right now, we are at the beginning of this. 5 to 10 years from now, you Americans, and I'm pointing at you Americans, are going to feel the suffering and the pain that German people have felt for 70 years. They are always thought of as genociders and Nazi sympathizers. We are allowing this to happen. It's not Israel alone. Every bomb, every bullet, every plane that comes from that country that kills innocent people in Gaza, in Palestine, West Bank, has our name on it. We pay for it. We just spent $26 billion.
Yeah.
$26 billion mm-hmm. to fund a genocide.
I think it's important for what I tell most of my American brothers and sisters is, if you want to know what's really going on, look at what's happening in Gaza, which isn't all that far from Tel Aviv, which isn't all that far from Jerusalem. This is a very small area. Two cities. One says that they're aggrieved. The IDF and Netanyahu says, oh, we are under attack. Take a look at Gaza. Take a look at Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv people are going to have their coffees. They're going to work and they're doing their thing. They're driving their cars and their freeways. Gaza is rubble. Rubble with our bombs. Now, we at some point in time, we are going to have to self-reflect. And I fear that something that you said is prescient, and that is just as the Germans are all, whenever you hear German, the first thing you think about is Holocaust. We don't want it to be the first time you hear American. It's what's occurring in Gaza. And Gaza is just one instantiation. Well, I really wanted to let America know that there are Americans in the Gaza area now. You're in Turkey that are doing the humanitarian thing, not the military thing, the humanitarian thing to go out there and feed babies, feed women, feed men, heal women, heal babies, heal men, and do the right thing. I thank you so kindly, Tig Barry, for what you're doing out there. And keep me posted as far as how successful you are in getting over 5,000 tons of food and medicine over to Gaza.
Well, I should tell every American, get on the phone, call your State Department, call your representative, call your senator, call the White House, send emails. Let us sail. We have no way of hurting Israel. The only thing we can do is help people on the ground.
Thank you
and
so
it's
kindly.
It's time for Americans to step up.
Tighe Barry, thank you so kindly for speaking with me.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message. A message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please, join.
Absolutely join, folks. Absolutely join, folks. Absolutely join. Anyway, there's no other, just a matter of information for Eric Hayes. There's no other country on this planet that has 400 plus bases scattered around the world. There are no other countries with the order of magnitude of bases that the United States have around the world. So, I mean, please, I wish you would understand how the tentacles of our military, how deep it actually goes. And unfortunately, too few people know that results. They have the false belief that other countries. I mean, anyway, I'm not going to go there. But here's the deal, folks. We have a new issue to discuss here, and it goes like this. Fascism has reached us. Fascism has reached Texas. Texas is a fascist state. Let's remember that. Texas is a fascist state. I went to the University of Texas in the 80s. Back then, the University of Texas, I guess through the Permanent University Fund and other ways, had investments in South Africa. South Africa was an apartheid state. It had nothing to do with democracy. Let's be clear here. And while at the University of Texas, I was in the South African Liberation Action Committee, one of the many organizations that I was a part of. We marched just like these kids at the University of Texas. You know, when my daughter went to the University of Texas started in 2009 or something like that. And as I visited her at the university, I always used to tell her, what's going on at the university? This is a place of knowledge. This is a place where you actually exchange ideas, you protest for things that we need to solve in the world. So that is what universities are there for. That's the university environment. And during those years that she was there, very little happened. No, a lot of protests. And many of us from the past classes at the University of Texas wondered if a lot of that went away. Where universities were the central parts of intellect, where intellect was manifested. We didn't see a lot of that during her years in the 2010s, etc., right? So when I saw that these guys picked up the ceasefire protests, it didn't only occur in Columbia University, but it spread into universities across the country. I finally said, this is great. I was happy to see that. And the reason I was happy to see that is because change only occurs if we ensure that change occurs. And that's what these students decided to do. They understood that in America, if you want change, you have to effect change. And this is what these kids did. And what did we get for that? We get a whole lot of cops. And, you know, I had some, let me go ahead and put something here on the screen real quick first. I had some stuff to show you on this. And what I want to do is I want to see if I can get to the, I want to see if I can get to it. So bear with me one quick short second as I look for what I'm talking about here, because I want you guys to see what I'm talking about when I say we are a fascist state, because that is what happened at the University of Texas, with the beginning of the program, with Daniel calling in, et cetera, I was not able to get to it. But I think I can pull it up in short order. I'm pulling it up in short order for what it looked like. All right, let's go ahead and put this here because I want you all to see what this looked like. This is my alma mater. This is what my university looked like. Something that we should see nowhere around. This is what it looked like. Let's see if I can get some sound. We'll see if I can get some sound. I am trying to get the sound for you. I think I know how to do it now. All right, what I'm going to do, I think I'm going to play that over again so that you can hear what it sounds like. But it was distressing to see this at my former university. What is that doing on campus? Look how he pushes that woman. Now, let me tell you, that's a peaceful protest. No, but people are chanting the chants that that's prearranged, etc. No problem whatsoever. And the cops come in. The governor sent several dozen of those guys in riot gear. And there are some other videos that I really wanted to show exactly what these guys are doing to our people. It is sad. Here's a story. Texas state troopers in riot gear crack down on UT students' Gaza protest. Why do we even have these institutions of higher learning if we won't let students speak their conscience and protest, said the University of Texas professor. Civil rights advocates on Wednesday expressed alarm at a rapid escalation by Texas state troopers who descended on student-led protests at the University of Texas Austin, which was organized in solidarity with Gaza and other U.S. college students taking part in a growing anti-war movement. I don't know if you saw in those pictures, there were Jewish students that were part of this movement. So, I mean, the idea that this is an anti-Semitic movement is ridiculous. Yes, there, and this is not to discount that there is anti-Semitism, but I find it ironic that Mike Johnson went to the university, to the Columbia University, and stood up there and talked about anti-Semitism on the campus of Columbia University. Yet he never once reminded the people that in Virginia, we had his proteges, the right-wing thugs that work with them, marching saying, Jews will not replace us. Jews will not replace us. We have Marjorie Taylor Greene making some very anti-Semitic statements over and over again. And he thinks he has the nerve to call a legitimate protest seeking a ceasefire, a humanity-based request. That he think it's okay to say that this is a that this is somehow an anti-Semitic movement? No. This is an important movement. This is probably the most important movement since Vietnam. You know, Brother Barry, who came on a bit earlier, said something very important. He said, just like now, whenever you think Germany, the first thing that comes to mind is Holocaust. Do you want the first thing that comes to mind when one says America is what you it's a genocide you allowed with your bombs in Gaza? 34,000 people dead and counting. Over 15,000 children dead and counting. Infrastructure destroyed with nowhere to live. Over 70% of the area and counting. Is that what we really want? Is that what we really condone? And you want to make these people look pious, these people that are looking out for humanity. You want them to somehow seem like they are doing the wrong thing, like they are the disruptors? When our brothers and sisters in Gaza are being summarily murdered with our bombs made with our tax dollars? Let's be clear. Let's be clear. Bruce made it into the chat today. And what I want to say is that Bruce is a good friend of mine. And, you know, today we went ahead and shoot the bull for a while. Went out to see Bruce. Now that he's in there, let me just show you, give you a little pic here of us having, you know, checking out at Starbucks this morning. There is Bruce sporting the Politics Done Right t-shirt, folks. And if you want to get Politics Done Right, folks, go ahead and check it out at our store, politicsdoneright.com/store. But you see, Bruce is sporting the Politics Done Right t-shirt, and I am as well. Anyway, folks, I went and we had some great conversation with Bruce this morning for coffee. Had a couple hours of coffee and really did some catching up that we needed to do for quite some time. Anyway, folks, so let me tell you, folks, let's be clear here. This is the biggest protest. Well, we know there was Black Lives Matter for sure, and there was the Occupy movement for sure. This one here ranks right up there with those two very important movements. And might I say, very successful movements. People don't understand how successful Occupy was because they thought, well, it got busted up. There's a lot that came out of the Occupy movement. There's a lot that came out of the Black Lives Matter movement. And there will be a lot that comes out of the ceasefire movement for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Make no mistake. There's much that will be positive on that issue. Anybody wants to give us a call, 781-823-7747. Again, I don't have any more to cover other than what we covered so far. So let's go 281-823-7747. One more time, I'm going to call it out. 281-823-7747. 1-800-947. If you want to call and comment about what we discussed today, give us a call one more time. And that is 281-823-7747. So folks, like I said, that those are the subjects that I had intended to cover today. So unless you have some other stuff that you want to discuss in the chat, let's see what we have here from that's meritorious. We have from, I know I saw something from Daily Mail, bias and credibility, extremely biased, consistent promotion of propaganda, conspiracy, poor, no sourcing of credible information. Actually, you know, E2247, go look up Egberto Willis. You'll see a completely different credibility bias rating in at that same fact check, media bias fact check. We do our homework here. Let's see what we get here. Paul Fleming says, the seven souls we mourn today were there so that hungry people could eat, said Jose Andres of the World Central Kitchen, workers who were killed in Gaza by an Israeli strike. Food should never be a weapon of war, the teary-eyed chef said of mourners gathered for service. That is so sad. That is so sad. Let's hear your thoughts on NFL draft today. Unfortunately, I don't have thoughts on the NFL draft today. Sorry, I haven't been keeping up with the NFL draft at all. Actually, I haven't been keeping up with sports so much, with so much news occurring. Paul Fleming says the U.S. Federal Commission voted 3-2 to reinstate the landmark net neutrality rules and resume regulatory oversight of broadband internet rescinded under former President Donald Trump. And, you know, I wrote an article on Common Dreams, and I should find that one, Common Dreams. I wrote an article back in a long time ago supporting net neutrality. Let me go ahead and find it. I wrote several articles at Common Dreams, but here is my article at Common Dreams, and where I said in that article, let me go ahead and put that out. I said, is net neutrality really necessary? You're damn right. If the internet becomes shackled by corporate interests and corporate profits, as traditional media has, democracy is not only in peril, it is unattainable. Let me put that link in there that I wrote. Again, I wrote that article several years ago. There you guys can take a look at that article that I wrote several years ago. Back in the day when they were really trying to kill net neutrality. That was a long time ago. Anyway, I got to get ready to get out of here. So what I want to ask everybody to please support the program. How do you support the program? There are many ways in which you can support Politics and Right. You can support Politics and Right by going to politicsandright.com/support, politicsandright.com/support. I'm putting that link in the chain. If you become a supporter on Patreon, you can read all five of my books and future books online, politicsandright.com/patreon. And likewise, if you become a paid subscriber of our newsletter, you can also read all five of my books online, as well as getting all the information about my blogs, my radio show in the mornings. It comes out at 5 every morning to tell you what the radio show is going to be about, etc. You can also support us by getting our books directly. Some people like hard copies of books. Some people like Kindles, etc. You can just go to politicsandright.com/books, politicsandright.com/books. But whatever the case is, as you can see, we bring you stories that you're not going to get in the mainstream media. What Code Pink did, or what Code Pink is doing in Turkey, trying to get that that food and other supplies to Gaza. Did you see that on any news program? You know how that got to me? Madir is on my TikTok list. I saw when she was making the video. I got it. As I got the information from Madir, I called her up. I said, you know, want to interview you guys on what you're doing. Madia said she's on a plane heading back to D.C., but to talk to Barry. Barry's out there holding down some of the Code Pink holding down the fort. And that's how the independent media works. Social base, social networking with people really on the ground, right? That's what independent media is all about. and it cost us to do this. We don't have the budget that the big guys have, but the big guys choose how to cover the story so that they can control your mind. We just bring you the story. So please support us as best you can. Become a paid subscriber of our newsletter, politicsandright.com/newsletter. That is how we can make a difference. If you want to find out all the different ways to support us, thank you, E2247, for relinking that. Go to politicsandright.com/support. And thank you for putting out the bias check on Egberto Willis, which is rate them high for factual reporting due to proper sourcing and clean fact check record. Guys, I want to thank you all for spending this time with me. I'm going to get out of here now. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you guys know how I end this baby. I am what?
Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.